Hey, I'm Lydia Isnanto, and this is Dreampreneurs Chat. It's a show where I chat with dream chasers all around the world who make their passion their paycheck, loving the risk they took and the job they do.
Broke, underemployed, and saddled with student loan debt, Kara discovered her love of finances courtesy of her quarter-life crisis. She paid off more than $25,000 in loans on a salary of less than $30,000, the final $18,000 in just 10 months. After becoming debt-free, Kara created Bravely to help other women take control of their financial lives, give the tools they need to get the pay they deserve, organize their money, and control their finances, ultimately to bridge the gap between the dreams and realities. For a self-made woman like
Welcome back to the Dreampreneurs Chat Show, and today we have another amazing guest here, Kara Perez. I met her at the Boss Babes event, so she was one of the panelists, and she shared a very important information, especially for all of us Dreampreneurs, and she is also the founder of Bravely Go. So Kara, I think you can share a little bit more about who you are and what you do in your business and also your passion.
Yeah. So I come from a fairly low income background. Growing up, we were low income for a number of years, and we were on food stamps here in the United States, which is a social welfare program. And then steadily grew our income. My mom, single parent household, and now she's solidly middle class and she's doing great, which is wonderful, but certainly left me with the impression that money is really difficult, money is really hard, and money is not for me. So throughout college and into the first part of my 20s, I just felt like I wouldn't have any money, I would never have any money. Even if I did, I didn't know what to do with it. The first 3 years out of college, I waited tables and made less than $20,000 a year while I had over $25,000 in student loan debt. And it was just really stressful and hard, and I realized I need to learn about money. So I literally Googled how to pay off student loan debt and paid off the remainder of my student loan debt in 10 months. I worked 5 different part-time jobs because I couldn't find a real job. But as I was doing that, I was writing about it and sharing my journey online, and I realized I really love talking about this, and I love talking about money with women. So from that blog, I decided to start doing events, and I rebranded under the name Bravely. And now Bravely helps women learn about money. So we help them with things like how to pay off your debt, how to create a budget that actually works for you, what are some ways to save? What are areas in your life that you can cut out? And what are other areas that you want to really see flourish? So we work with women one-on-one. Mm-hmm. We do the larger events, but it all comes back to how can we educate women around money?
That's really interesting. There's a story that you share in the Boss Babes. Mm-hmm. The journey of when you really gathering money to pay up the loan, that's empower you to really set up the budget, you know, all those things. So tell us a story about the challenge when you were in that journey.
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, it was really like necessary in some ways because I didn't know anything about money. So after I was reading these personal finance blogs of other people who were paying off debt, I realized, okay, I can do that. And in 2014, this is when I was just beginning to learn about money, I only made $18,000, so I didn't have a lot of money to work with. So I knew, okay, one, I need to find more money. Because at the time, I was working for $12 an hour as a caterer and for $9 an hour as an MMA gym receptionist. So I just didn't have a lot of money coming in. So I knew, okay, I need to find more jobs. Yeah. So that was a big part of it. But I also needed to cut back. And I knew I could. I had just started dating my boyfriend. And so we were going out on all these dates. And I was like, no more dates. You know, like, no more dinners out, no more concerts. I want to save that money. I lived with 3 roommates. And they were all wonderful and very good friends of mine. So it was fun. We had like built-in friendships. So we could do movie nights at home. But I did everything and anything I could to save money. So I had this catering job, and I would eat the leftovers from the catering events rather than buy groceries, which was delicious in some ways and also a little unhealthy in some ways. I ate a lot of mashed potatoes and like a lot of bread. But it allowed me to really cut my spending, which I could then put that money towards my debt payoff. And as I picked up more whether it was catering shifts or odd jobs. I did freelance writing. I coached lacrosse at a local high school. I could put that earning towards my debt. So I kept my living expenses really, really low. And then any extra money went towards paying off my debt.
So after that, you found this briefly 1 year ago. What is the challenge, you know, like while you're doing this business?
So many challenges. So I founded Bravely with $3,300 mm-hmm. that I had saved. Mm-hmm. And the challenge has been, how can I put together really impactful events that are beautiful and educational and people want to attend, but how can I keep them affordable while also making money? And Bravely has grown, but really slowly, because I'm just a team of one, and I do all of our website content, I do all of our event content, and it takes a lot of time. So I would say the biggest challenges are being smart with my capital, as well as being smart with my time. What is worth my time and what is not worth my time? And that's an ever-evolving conversation that I'm having with myself.
Now, is it this the most challenging, or the previously working job to jobs is more challenging? Or
yeah, that's such a good question. In some ways, this is more challenging, but in other ways, when I was paying off my debt, I had 5 different part-time jobs, and I would work them every day of the week. So, and it was sometimes I would, you know, wake up and do some freelance writing and then have to go to a catering event in the afternoon and work until midnight and then wake up the next morning and have to do coaching or something. So I worked many jobs, sometimes multiple jobs a day, every single day. So I was just really tired and I was really burnt out because everything in my life revolved around debt payoff, which I chose to do because I knew, okay, I don't have $100,000 in debt. At this point in time, I had a little over $18,000 in debt. So if I was really serious for a short amount of time, I knew I could get to zero faster. So I chose to be really aggressive with it, which was hard in terms of scheduling myself and maintaining my energy levels and also just trying to figure out money. I was still learning. But now with Bravely, I know a lot, which is great. And I have more money than I did before, which is good. But you still have ups and downs as an entrepreneur. There's months where I'll do an event and I'll make a lot of money, and then there's months where I try and sell tickets to an event and no one wants to come. And so it's hard understanding, what does my audience want? When do they want it? What will they pay for? What's the right scale to hit? So it's different challenges, I would say.
And despite of all the challenges, and you keep going, so what makes you keep going?
So what's kind of a blessing in disguise is I never did have a high-paying, powerful job, right? It's not like I'm not one of those people that I left my $150,000 a year job to pursue my dream. I left my catering job. You know, it was really easy to leave that because it sucked. So I keep going forward because I genuinely love what I do, and I think I'm having an impact on the world. I know I'm having an impact on the world, one woman at a time. And what was my alternative? Just keep catering, keep working at the gym? No, thank you. So it makes sense for me, as well as being a way to really have an effect on the world around me.
And women is the most difficult part is in their spending, I think. Mm. I mean, I am a filmmaker. Like, mm-hmm. I spend maybe not on Prada or Gucci, you know, but I spend more on the gears.
Yeah.
Where I realized that as a creative, I find that even, you know, like 10 years I've been in the business of videography and photography back in Singapore. And I find that after 10 years, I see my, income sheet is like, oh my God, it's like I really earn literally nothing, you know, mm-hmm. like what's happening, you know. So what do you think the most important for women to take note in their, especially for creatives, for business, is it in their budgeting or is it in their earning more income, you know, mm-hmm. or what the best advice you could give for creatives or entrepreneurs, yeah, dreampreneurs?
I think a lot of creatives and dreampreneurs think of themselves as creatives, and numbers and money is not creative. So they don't want to look at it and they think, no, that's not for me. I just want to be in my art, you know. I think that is wrong. You can be very creative with your money. I think of frugality as an exercise in creativity. How can I make this dollar go further?
Stay right there, and we will be right back.
I also think the number one thing people need to do is look at the numbers, because numbers don't lie. If you don't have any money coming in, the numbers are going to reflect that. If you have a lot of money coming in, but you don't know where to put it, you don't have an income problem, you have a spending problem. But if you don't have any money coming in, you have an income problem. So the problems may be different, but the way to solve the problem is to look at the numbers. And you can do that in your personal life too, or your business life, but you just have to sit down and say, here's what I've got coming in, here's what I've got going out, here's what I want to do, how can I make all of this add up? Sort of what I was just saying, not everyone has the same problems when it comes to their money, and not everyone has the same goals. Some people do want to retire by 33, some people want to own a house, some people want to have kids. Your life is very different from my life, and that's great and wonderful, but it means our money is different. So a lot of people in the money community give this blanket advice: save 20% of your income, invest in this account, but that might not be the best thing for each individual. So I tell people, identify your values. What is it that I care about? What kind of person do I want to be? And what kind of life do I want to live? From there, you can figure out where you want to spend. So something that a lot of people really love doing is going out to eat. People love going to restaurants and not having to cook or do the dishes, which I totally respect, but I don't enjoy that much because I worked in food service for so long, it like stresses me out. So my restaurant budget is zero. But that's probably not going to work for a lot of other people, like most people. And so it doesn't make sense for me to say everyone needs to have a zero restaurant budget. There are going to be people who try that, and then I call it rubber banding. They rubber band back to overspending, and they're going out to eat every single night. So identify your values and say, I really love food. Food is really important to me. I like going out with my partner, with my friends, and not having to clean up. So I want to have a $300 restaurant budget. But if I'm going to do that, I have a $0 clothing budget because I already have enough clothes. I work from home. It doesn't really matter what I wear. So understand, what do I really, really care about and spend on that? And what do I not care so much about and pull back in those areas?
For all of us dreampreneurs, especially for people who are still finding out their passion, and like, for example, this year we have $300 for food. Mm-hmm. But then in the midst, the journey is like, okay, I'm gonna try one more, probably fashion, you know, maybe like fashion design. Mm-hmm. Then spend on the classes or spend on going out to the events of fashion. So within that $300, you can, you will have to divide 150 and 150, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the best way to handle
that? Yeah,
that's a tricky question. I think it's fine for your values to change and for your interests to change and for your money to change. Mm-hmm. But you have to be really honest with yourself. If you're spending mindlessly just trying to find your passion and you're not really tracking what interests you or figuring out, okay, I thought I was really into food, but turns out I'm not so much. Why? Ask yourself why, and try and be as self-aware of why your values are changing as possible. Because if you just say, this feels good, I want to spend on it, that's where a lot of people get in trouble. Because something can feel good and still not be good for you and your budget. But if you find yourself saying, okay, I was very into restaurants, I was going out all the time, now actually or care more about fashion, then yeah, maybe just put the restaurant spending on hold for a month and transfer that money to your fashion spending and see how that feels. And if that feels more true to you, then keep the restaurant budget at, you know, 100 and the fashion budget at 200 mm-hmm. for as long as that feels good. Mm-hmm. It's not about saying no to yourself when something feels good. It's about saying what works for my life right now and how am I being honest about that? So again, that's gonna look different for everyone else. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on how much startup capital you have. Do I have personal savings? And what your personal expenses look like? Do I have to pay rent? Do I have to pay childcare? So you have to be really honest. You can't just go around and say, well, here's a cool conference that looks like it'll be fun, mm-hmm. so I'm gonna spend $500 on it. You have to say, if I'm gonna spend $500 on this conference, what am I gonna get out of it? Who do I wanna talk to? What are the sessions I wanna go to? And how will I implement that immediately so that I can start earning money? Because the truth of the matter is, if your business isn't making you money, it's just an expensive hobby. It's not a business. Businesses are designed to bring in money. Mm-hmm. And so when you're doing your budgeting for your business, sit down and say, okay, I wanted to do events. When you do an event, you have to have venue rental. That's going to cost me money. I need a photographer so I can put those pictures on Instagram, you know? I need either to buy alcohol or get it sponsored. So write down all the expenses that are coming along with your business, and then write the sources of income you expect to have. So with events, I can sell tickets, I can get sponsors, et cetera, et cetera. If you're doing videography, people will pay you to come film them. And then your income has to be higher than your expenses, right? That's where it is. And I would say do what you can with what you have for as long as you can, but understand that if you are endlessly spending money and not bringing in any money, then your income streams aren't working and you need to change those.
And so for dreampreneurs out there, if you can give one advice for things that the most important thing in the financial, you know, to bridge their dreams and their realities. Mm-hmm. So what is that one advice?
I think the best piece of advice I can give is to be honest with yourself about your money, about your goals, and about your reality. If you're a single parent with three kids like my mom was, maybe right now is not the best time to start a business. Or if you are a single parent with three kids, maybe now's the best time to start a business. I don't know, it totally depends on your situation. So be really honest about what you want and what you think you're capable of, because we're all capable of greatness. That's the amazing thing. Like when I started paying off my debt, I was like, I make $18,000 a year, I'm a caterer, I am working at this gym, I hate it. But 10 months later, I was debt free. You know, like we can do amazing things. But I was really honest about this is my number one goal in life. I want to get out of debt. I turned down vacations. I turned down travel opportunities. I didn't get Christmas presents for people. I didn't receive any Christmas presents because my whole life revolved around it. So be really, really honest about what you want and what you're willing to do for it and what your life allows. Once you have that brutal honesty with yourself, so many opportunities will open up, which is amazing. But until you can be really clear on what you're trying to do, everything will remain kind of murky and kind of, it'll feel hard.
That's really good. So for audience out there who really want to get to know more about you and want to ask more questions, so where can they find you?
Yes, you can find me. My website is bravelygo.co, not .com. I couldn't get that one. That one was too expensive. And then on Instagram, it's at @WeBravelyGo. On Twitter, @BravelyGo. And you can always feel free to shoot me an email if you have a personal question, info@BravelyGo.co.
And you also have a very good podcast.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I always forget about the podcast. And I have a podcast. It's called The Fairer Sense, F-A-I-R-E-R, Sense, like C-E-N-T-S. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. We're all over the place.
Thank you so much, Kara, for being in this show. And so thank you, audience, for listening and watching this show. Don't forget to leave your review on the iTunes and Apple Podcasts. So that will help us for sure to continuing whatever we love to do and we're passionate to do. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Bye-bye. For a self-made woman like
me. This podcast is available on iTunes and other major podcast platforms. If you like this show, please subscribe and give your rating and review on iTunes. That means a lot to help the show keep going. You can also watch the video podcast series at youtube.com/LydiaIsnanto. See you on the next brand new chat. Until then, remember to share your story with someone, because you never know how one sentence of your life story could inspire others to rewrite their own.